You are now listening to FMB Radio.
And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins. I am your host. It's great to be back. It's great to have you listening. This episode is going to be, I don't want to say like a crammed episode, but we can be honest. It's pretty crammed. It's Friday. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the show is just now coming out. Currently, in real life, it's 11:04 on Friday. And I'm just making it happen, you know? The podcast gets increasingly shoved to the side, which feels sad. But my life's just a little bit crazy right now. I'm still on maternity leave from having my beautiful baby boy. I currently have some sort of weird laryngitis, which is why I sound like Charles Bukowski in your microphone right now. And beyond that, it's just hard to get things done, you know? There's not a lot of hours in the day where it's just you quietly sitting in your room thinking about all the stuff you want to talk about. But anyway, I'm committed to getting the show done, and that's what I'm doing. Doing it right here. But I'm getting an A for effort. E for effort? I'm getting an A. I want an A. I don't want an E. That's not even a real grade. It's just a bad joke. You should see me right now. I wish I had the guts to actually post a picture of me taping this podcast because, God, there's just so much you don't see, thank God. Currently, I'll just give you a little visual. Currently, I'm sitting in my chair. I'm in my pajamas. I'm in an F&B Radio t-shirt. I'm not wearing a bra. Well, that got weird. I didn't mean to tell you what I was wearing. I meant to give you a visual of what I look like while I'm taping the show. That includes what I'm wearing, but is not limited to. I have the baby monitor on silent, so I can see if it lights up, it means the baby's crying. I've got all the podcast stuff plugged in. It's also lighting up. My hair hasn't been washed in days. In fact, this show is brought to you by me choosing to do this instead of taking my weekly shower. You're welcome. But I look kind of like a homeless airline pilot. Like if they were homeless or like had a really bad night or something, that's kind of what I look like. Strapped in here, headphones on, checking levels, mostly on the baby monitor because that's the one that's scaring me the most. And then you know, trying to just get the show done. And getting it done, I am. So thanks to you. You guys really, you drive me to get the show done and no matter what might be in my way. And there's been a lot of stuff in my way this week. I don't have a phone. This has been quite the social experiment. My phone has been on the fritz for some time. Like, I'm talking about a lot of cracks, like mosaic style. But it was still working. That's fine. And I'm not really due for an upgrade for like 6 more months. Because I'm not very nice to my phone. So I've just been rocking it cracked, like, oh, it's going to be fine. Julian finally on Monday morning drops it, my 6-year-old, and it just stops working. The screen doesn't come on anymore. For a while, I could still, like, answer phone calls by being like, Siri, answer the phone. But after a while, even that stopped working. So I haven't had a phone since Monday. What day is it? Friday. And it's weird. It does make me feel very out of touch. Also, if you're a friend of mine that listens to the show and you've been texting me, like, what a bitch. Lindsay can't even respond. It's not that. It's just that I don't have a way to see that you've even tried to contact me if you have. Maybe you haven't. But either way, I don't know. I don't know that you tried to call. It's not that I'm ignoring you. And I do apologize. I'm able to look at my email because I've got this trusty old computer. So that's something. But being cut off from my phone in general, I got to tell you, it's really opened my eyes. Not just to the world that's directly in front of my face, but to really how much time we spend on our devices. And it's got that sweet little really passive aggressive screen time calculator that they do now. And and I'll just put mine out there, I average about 3.5 hours of screen time a day. And some people are like, oh, that's low. But to me, I'm like, 3 hours? That's the 3 hours that stops me from doing things like taping F&B radio. That's the 3 hours that stops me from writing, which is something that I like talk about doing a lot more than I actually do. But no matter what you do professionally or what you're aspiring to do creatively, you should be writing. And 3.5 hours. And that's honestly, people can say what they want about, oh, I work from my phone. Not for 3.5 hours. You might like be bound to responding to emails because you can see them come up on your phone, but you don't actually spend 3.5 hours emailing people from your phone, right? If you do, you should really try a computer. It's a lot faster. But it's 3.5 hours. And that's just me. That's like, that's my screen time. I don't know what yours is, but you should look at it. Check it out. See how much time that you spend on there. And just imagine any of the shit that you've been trying to get done, whether it's going to the gym or learning more about wine or, I don't know, any of that shit. You're not going to be able to do it when you're just scrolling through Instagram. I also can report from this social experiment of not having a phone, I have more energy. And this was a weird one to me. I did not think that was going to happen. I don't know. I didn't think it would be able to physically suck my energy. I know it sucks my time looking at the internet, you know, whether it's being on YouTube or Facebook or, I don't know, do people get on Facebook anymore? Sometimes. Sometimes they do. It's not glamorous, but they do. And I don't know. I don't know what we spend our time doing on there, but it seems that we're always on there and it takes time for sure. But this was really weird because I just was like boundless energy, which is something like a fucking miracle for someone who's got 2 little kids, a part-time job, a like made-up job. That's this. And a newborn. Like, I just don't have energy lying around. But apparently, it's been going to the internet. Because I was able to get so much shit done. I, like, meal planned. I prepped a bunch of stuff. I roasted a chicken. And, I mean, I'm in my house, so these are the things that I, like, do right now. But think about what you could do creatively or at your job or whatever. It's just wild to me. I didn't think I was going to be more energetic, but I was. And so now I'm at this weird thing, like I'm starting to feel strange without my phone. I had this really like highs and lows, right? A couple days into it, I was like, this is great. Like I'm doing great. I don't ever want a phone again. I want to be like off the grid permanently. But now it's getting kind of annoying. And I just think about things like safety. What am I going to email 911? I don't think so. So I got to get serious in that way. But my goal when I get my phone back, which will be in a couple days, is to have a place that I put it. Like, you know, like you put anything else. Like here's where I keep my stand mixer. Here's where I keep the television. Here's where I keep, you know, your computer for the most part. I move it around, but I usually work on it in the same spot. And keep my phone there so that I still am like being responsible. I have a way to call 911. I can still check my email and do shit like that, but I really want to just like stop being on my phone so much. I was happier. I am happier. I think I get a weird, subdued, like not really prominent, but definitely existent feeling of just not being good enough. And that sounds so stupid, but it's real. So anyway, that's what's been going on with my life. I'm slowly getting back to society, getting back to work. I did a couple things where I got out of the house and taped some shows for Free Cookies. That was fun. If you haven't checked out Free Cookies, by the way, you should. They're on break right now. Their season starts, I think, in a couple weeks. But we've been getting some episodes ready for them. It's a really, really great podcast. And they're two amazing women that I love, Kate Vagan and Catherine Budig. And their show is called Free Cookies. Check it out. Download it on iTunes, rate it, review it. Tell them how much you like them. Tell them how great the sound is, because I do it. That part's really important. But yeah, I've been getting out of the house a little bit. I'm not quite ready to go back to restaurant work. And maybe I won't go back to restaurant work. I don't know. I'm at a weird crossroads in my life. I'm like Bone Thugs and Harmony. I'm at the crossroads. You can meet me at the crossroads. But I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like for me, or what working is going to look like for me in 2019. And honestly, that's kind of exciting. I'm definitely still going to be doing this. Definitely still going to be recording podcasts. And producing them for people. And hopefully writing more. And performing more. Because that's the kind of stuff that I like to do. Still going to be raising my kids, because that's... Yes, you got to do that for a long time, turns out. Turns out they really stick around. But we have a great show for you. There's a salt shortage that I want to talk about. We're going to get into that in just a minute. I made morning buns. That was my excuse for not doing the show last time. We're going to talk about that. And then things about the new year, you know, trying to eat healthier, whatever that looks like. We're going to get into that and how annoying that is right after this. All right. So I don't know if there's really a salt shortage. Salt shortage. She sells salt shortage by the seashore. Got it. But I noticed this, and I've been noticing this for some time. I thought it was just me going to the wrong places, or I don't know. You know, there's the conspiracy that happens where you have to go to 10 different grocery stores to get just the things you need. There's no possible way that they could all just carry the stuff you need. It's like you really have to shop around, and that's fine. I don't mind doing that. But for some time, I've been looking for Diamond Crystal kosher salt, right? The big red box or little thing, depending on how I buy mine in bulk. So it's always in like a, looks like a cereal box, maybe a little smaller, maybe like a cracker box. But it's the best kosher salt for me. It's what I like to use. It's got the perfect amount of saltiness, because what you will notice is that they vary. Depending on the grind, depending on who makes the salt, Morton's kosher salt, holy shit, it's so salty. So if you're using that or any other brand of salt, you have to really pay attention when you're seasoning stuff, especially pre-seasoning stuff like soups and stews, even meats, like if you're salting meats before they cook, because it's way saltier than what I'm used to is what I'm saying. So I always use Diamond Crystal. Every restaurant that I've ever really worked in, they use Diamond Crystal. It's the perfect grind, and it just, I don't know. It's kind of the industry standard, if you will, for pre-seasoning. We're not talking finishing salts. We're talking before. And that's something that people kind of don't really know necessarily. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, here's some salt. But there really is a different way to use different types of salt. And more importantly, when you use them in the cooking process is of dire importance. So I'm going to go over that in just a little bit. But I started looking around, and, you know, I'm in Charleston. So I don't know if this is the same everywhere. You guys can let me know this. But I went in grocery store after grocery store, and, like, all of a sudden they didn't have the salt anymore. I would go to the salt aisle, the spice aisle, and it was just Morton's kosher salt or some other brand, but not the red box, not the red and white box, the Diamond Crystal. So I'm like, okay, they must be out. I'll go to a different grocery store. So I went from Harris Teeter to Whole Foods, to, I don't know, anywhere that you shop, even places that are just random grocery stores, Food Lion, stuff like that. Nothing. They don't have it. It's like, it's just missing. And I started doing some research and asking other people in different areas. I'm talking about my mom, okay, to be totally honest. I was like, Mom, can you find it? No, she can't find it either. In South Carolina, it appears that it's just disappeared off the shelves. So I was like almost to the point of, I'm like, oh, I'll just get online and order it. But that kind of takes a lot of energy. And I just bought another thing of salt that I was just kind of begrudgingly using, being like, oh, well, I hate this salt, but I'll just keep using it because I have a lot of it. So I run through, you know, my giant box of Morton's kosher salt. And I'm finally like, I got to get more salt. And I happen upon the Food Lion in my area, which is on Dorchester Road, which is just kind of not a very fancy Food Lion. Not that any of them are, but they get the job done. You know, I'm not a grocery store snob. I'm really not. And I think it's funny when people are, because I'm like, do you realize that it's all just kind of being distributed? I get that there's like an experiential part of shopping, and that's fine. But I don't really care if I like go in there and it looks like a theme park, or if it makes me feel a certain way. Sometimes I will be overtaken by the luxury in a new Whole Foods or something and spend more money. But usually I come out of there like, oh, what the fuck just happened? I just got bamboozled by how nice it was in there. So in some ways I like to just go lowbrow. I'm like, I know what I'm getting. I know it's the same. So I'm going to just buy it anywhere and not be overtaken by how nice those places are. Because I went to, what is that place, Lowe's? I know what you're thinking. That's a hardware store, but it's not. Here in South Carolina, it's also a grocery store that looks weirdly like a theme park. Like you're like, now you're in Deliland. And there's like these giant moving things, like there's fake smoke coming out of the place where they smoke the chickens. Like, it was just really like the Disneyland of Publixes is what it felt like. When you go to the bread aisle, the cake aisle, there's just like aisle. It's not a cake aisle. You know what I'm saying? Like in those little areas where they're like, now you're in the bakery. And there was just like giant fake cakes way up hanging from the ceiling. It's really weird. It was really too much for me. And at the end of the day, they had the exact same groceries as every other store. You know, you can still buy organic mushrooms. So that's great. Or lettuce or whatever you're buying. I mean, there was some cool specialty items, but for the most part, they're all the same. Anyway, Food Lion, Dorchester Road, not a nice one, but my one. I look on the shelf and all of a sudden out of nowhere, the Diamond Crystal. There it is. Three boxes. I bought every box they had. I bought two for my mom because I'm a nice person. I bought three for myself and that was all they had. And now I have Diamond Crystal and that's awesome because I'm telling you, when you're salting a steak before you sear it, when you're salting a chicken before you roast it, if you're making a brine, like the strength of the salt matters. Now, if you're talking about after finishing salts, things like Malden salt, or here in Charleston, we have Bull's Bay sea salt, which is really nice. That has intention too and should have intention. You shouldn't just be like going Salt Bay on everyone's ass with the same salts. Now, in our house, we keep around just the two basic ones. We keep a kosher salt for pre-seasoning, and we keep a finishing salt for post-cooking. But when I was at Per Se, they do like a fancy salt service. And I learned a lot about the grind and the coarseness of a salt. And it's pretty neat how you can finish different items differently. Like, for instance, you wouldn't finish vegetables with the same salt that you would finish a steak with. And fish should go kind of with something flaky, like a Malden sea salt. That's an incredibly flaky, it looks like a pyramid actually, of crystal meth. I'm just kidding. I don't really know what crystal meth looks like except for what I saw on that show with Walter White. But yeah, you can do lots of different things. If you really want to get fancy, when they serve you the salt service at Per Se or the French Laundry, they give you basically six different salts. Two are kind of just for looks. I mean, they have their own little flavor, but let's be real. You're not going to put black salt on everything. It's just not that all-purpose. It's kind of like a novelty item, if you will. But they have a volcanic rock salt that's this like really deep red. There's a pink Himalayan sea salt, which everybody seems to like, but I find to be incredibly salty and usually too fine of a grind or too large. Sometimes you get those giant rocks and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with these little boulders? But they have this philosophy that you're kind of going to take Maldon salt for fish or something flaky like finishing cookies, pastry, something that's got like light and airy. For meats, roasted lamb or beef, duck, things like that, you would use sel gris, which is this really coarse, it looks like sand almost, gray salt. And that's literally what it means, sel gris, meaning gray salt. And then for vegetables, fleur de sel. And you can buy these. You can look these salts up. They're kind of, you know, if you want to get crazy and impress your friends with your knowledge of salt, you should, because it's interesting to see how they really can accent an ingredient. And it's not just a one salt fits all. And I think that's, we've come a long way since I was a kid when it was just like iodized table salt in a shaker with the rice so it didn't get all moisturized and clumped together. And, you know, the fear of like turning that up and oversalting a dish, like, that just doesn't happen in my life. Number one, I don't have a salt shaker. I keep my salt in like a salt box, or I keep the pre-seasoning, the like kosher salt. I just keep it in a huge deli because I bought 5 fucking pounds of it. So I put them all in delis and I got backups for my backups. But yeah, you should be seasoning thoughtfully, whether you're using, you know, the fancy salts or just regular salt. Don't put Maldon in when you're trying to, you know, make cookies and it calls for salt. You would never just crush up some Maldon. That's for after. It's a finishing salt. You use it when you're finishing. But yeah, have some fun with it. Do some research. Fleur de sel and sel gris, you can probably find at specialty stores. If not, you can order it online. Maldon is usually, you know, it's gotten quite popular these days. So it's pretty much in Whole Foods all the time. And then good luck finding the diamond crystal. And let me know if that was just me that was having the shortage. And sometimes I feel like I'm in the twilight zone. I'm like, are they just hiding it when I come in the store and everybody else has it? I don't know. Was it on sale? What happened? But it's back. And speaking of making things, I did something that honestly has been, it's a big fear of mine. And it's something I'm not really afraid of trying things. I love big projects in the kitchen. I love to do things that I don't know how to do. I like to learn. It's one of my favorite things. Like, in fact, I hate making a recipe that I make often sometimes because I'm like, man, I could have just tried something new. But as I'm getting older and I have more time on my hands right now, I've wanted to face one of my biggest fears, which is bread making. And I don't mean like I didn't go full on like I'm going to make sourdough in my Le Creuset Dutch oven. I haven't gone there yet, although that's my next stop, totally honest. But right now, I just wanted to make morning buns. I made them, guys. I made them. It took a really long time. And this is why I'm afraid of bread, because the investment is so steep that if it doesn't turn out, it's just such a failure. Whereas like, you know, if I try a new salmon recipe and it sucks, whatever. I seared it in a pan, I made some shitty sauce that sounded better than it was with sesame oil, and it just kind of fell flat. I don't really care that much. But if you make something like morning buns and you've been, you know, pre-fermenting and fermenting and punching down and rolling it out, all the steps that go into making something like a pastry or bread, if you will, a bun, anything with yeast that needs to activate, it's a lot of time. And so I just tend to shy away from them. But for some reason, I thought, you know what? I gotta get brave. I gotta try to make these. And I had a really, really amazing time. Turns out it's like anything else. Sometimes, even if the investment is, you know, steep and high, those rewards are even bigger. I don't know how anyone that makes bread doesn't try to charge like crazy amounts of money for it. I would be like, yeah, this sticky bun, no less than $20. That's how much it means to me, because I just spent half my life making them. I got up so early so that these would be hot at 10 a.m. It's crazy. But I encourage you all, try something like that. Do some crazy, long, involved recipe that you're like, I would never, ever, this is for restaurant people only. No, do it yourself. Try it. Because now I'm like, I want to be the person that casually whips up a morning sticky bun with cardamom and brown sugar and cinnamon and orange zest and vanilla. Everything about it I enjoyed. It was really, 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 really fun. And I'm going to try to do more of that. My next step really is the sourdough, and I'll let you know how it goes. Wish me luck, because I have a feeling that's a whole nother animal. I don't want to use the Fleischmann's yeast. I want to try to make my own starter. It's going to be ugly. But you know, these are the things that I want to do as I get older. I want to be that person that makes the fucking bread. Do you know how good it smells to be the person that makes bread in their house? Jeez. Although bread, everybody's kind of like, no, I'm on keto now. Sorry, Lindsay. I don't want to do bread gluten-free. And a lot of people are, for especially this time of year when they're trying to, like, you know, get their beach bods ready or whatever it is that they're doing. But not me. No. I'm in on bread this year. I've never been out on bread, but this year especially, it's going to be my thing. I'm on this I want to make stuff kick, and that's the place I'm living in. Let me know if you've made a recipe that takes longer than a day. Let me know about it. I don't know what that could be. Maybe you made beef Wellington. I want to know about it. That one's hard. Talk about time. But yeah. Guys, somehow I've made it to 28 minutes without the baby crying. I feel like I'm cheating death. I feel like I need to just stop right now. But yeah, we've got some great shows coming up for you next week. As long as I can keep this thing going without my phone. Fuck my phone. I know you're listening on your phone, so thanks for listening on your phone. Maybe I shouldn't encourage you all to get rid of your phones, because then you'd have to listen on the website. Yeah, maybe I'll just be the one that gets better. Because then, yeah, I might be offering out some ill-advised suggestions here. Just limit the time, you know? And you don't really have to look at your screen to listen to a podcast, so maybe that doesn't count. Maybe that doesn't add up. Once you start playing it, that's a good question. Is it still tracking it if you're just listening to music or something? That's not screen time. That's ear time. That's our time. I love you guys. You can rate the show on iTunes on your phone, because none of you are going to get rid of them. You can email me if you've been trying to get in touch with me and are wondering why the fuck I'm not responding. And if you have questions or topics you want to hear about on this show, let me know. fnbradio@gmail.com. That's fnbradio@gmail.com. Do it. Let me know what's on your mind. And we'll see you next week. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Famille, les amis.